Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, American. Happy Saturday. Boy, we've had a busy week of exclusive news at Just the News. I'm very proud of the work we're doing here, whether it's Stephen Richards or Natalia Mittelstadt, Ben Whedon. We've got a great group of people, and what we're doing is finding stories that others have missed, consequential stories that others have missed. And earlier this week, we broke one of them, right? You remember it. We were among the first to report that the driver, the Secret Service driver of President Trump's limousine, actually it was an SUV, on the morning of January 6, 2021, when the Capitol riot occurred, had outright denied in an interview with the January 6th Democrat Congressional Committee, the one that Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson ran, that the famous episode that we were told to believe in America, we were told under the color of government, Congress, under the color of taxpayer money, we should believe the third-hand hearsay account of Cassidy Hutchinson that Donald Trump burst from the back of the presidential limo, grabbed the steering wheel from a Secret Service agent, and even choked one of them to try to commandeer the vehicle and take it violently to the Capitol so he could participate in the riot. That's what we're told. You remember it now, right? Remember the TV testimony of that young White House aide, Cassidy Hutchinson? Well, before the Congressional Committee ever came to the conclusion that they were going to credit that third-person hearsay account, they already knew that it wasn't true. How do they know it? They had interviewed the Secret Service agents who were in the detail that day. They interviewed the chief of the White House operations, Tony Ornato. But most importantly, they interviewed the driver who said, it did not happen. I'm sorry, folks. It did not happen. And you heard President Trump's reaction when we broke that story. Pretty important story, right? Well, today we're going to talk to Congressman Barry Loudermilk of Georgia. He's the chairman of the House Administration Oversight Subcommittee, the man who unearthed that evidence that was kept from all of us. And he's going to tell you several things. He's going to tell you Liz Cheney was in the interview. She knew. She knew that what the committee report was going to conclude was wrong. And she didn't tell us. She didn't give us the benefit of being able to compare a first-hand account with a third-hand account. He's going to say that he thought Liz Cheney ran the end of the committee. It wasn't Benny Thompson in charge. Liz Cheney was in charge, he claims. And he's going to describe for you how and why he's going to try to create some accountability for lawmakers that were on that committee, staff that were on that committee, because we now know that evidence from the committee was destroyed. We know that evidence from that committee was transferred to other agencies where it hasn't been recovered. Some of it was put behind password protections, and the passwords aren't being given to the rightful owners of Congress now. There are rules in Congress that say that shouldn't happen. There are laws that say you can't obstruct an official inquiry. And today, Barry Loudermilk is going to explain to you why he believes he's going to create some accountability, maybe through an obstruction criminal charge referral to the Justice Department, or an official censure by the United States House, or through an ethics investigation. Barry Loudermilk is going to bring that to life for us today. And then in the second block, we're going to take you back to a second part of the revelations, because Barry Loudermilk didn't only break that story this week, he also broke the truth, which we reported a long time ago. We were kind of pilloried at the time, but we were right. We knew we were right. We reported that Donald Trump on January 3rd, through his Pentagon, offered the Capitol Police, National Guard, they turned it down, the District of Columbia, National Guard, it was 10,000 strong, that's as much the president authorized. We reported, and we were told, don't believe that. The January 6th committee said, no, that's not true. Liar, liar, pants on fire, John. Well, it is true. And how do we know it's true? This week, now, first, we knew it was true then for one reason. We had the Capitol Police documents showing it happened. We had a timeline. It recorded the exact moment that the call came in, what the Trump Pentagon offered, what the Capitol Police responded a few hours later with, which was, you can have 10,000. No, thank you. We don't want it. So we always were right. But we got a new piece of evidence today. Again, Liz Cheney, Benny Thompson, they had this before they came out in their report casting doubt on the authorization of these National Guard troops. They had an interview with a gentleman named Tony Ornato, the White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations and Security. And he said, it absolutely happened. Chris Miller, who we interviewed and said it happened, was in a meeting. Kash Patel, who we interviewed, said it was in a meeting. Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said he was in a meeting. And they said, the president said, do whatever you got to do to protect him, National Guard troops, whatever numbers you want, you can have them. Then the next day, Tony Ornato said he went to a conversation or attended a conversation with the Washington, D.C. officials, the mayor's office, Mayor Muriel Bowser, who I have the letter, we've put it out there, showing she rejected the offer of National Guard troops. And they talked specifically about the number that Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson and Adam Schiff and all those guys have tried to impugn. 10,000 troops. Tony Ornato said it. The committee had it. They didn't give it to us. They led us to believe another false story. In that second block today, Kash Patel, who is right in the middle of that transaction, he told you 2 years ago on this show it was true and it's now true. He's going to break down how that happened. Why are people lying? What's the news on this? What an important story. Kash Patel in block two of the story today. And then in the third block, a new candidate, a former military man now running for Congress in the battleground state of Michigan. Tom Perrott's going to join us. Very impressive man. You're going to get a lot of information from this interview, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So Barry Loudermilk, the chairman of the January 6th committee, now, not the one that lied to us, but the one that's getting us the truth, Kash Patel and Tom Barrett back to back to back on this Saturday edition of John Solomon Reports. Now, of course, before we get to that conversation, I want to just remind you guys that if you go to amac.us/justnews this month and you get a membership, you match me, go get a membership like I do. I'm a 5-year member. I'm proud of that. I've been a member for a while. I love it. By the way, I make a profit off it because I get so many discounts when I travel. I'm actually making money off my membership. But this month, you know, you got Easter coming up, and you got Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day coming up, graduations coming up. Birthdays are always in the wind, right? AMAC will allow you to buy one and get one free so you can give it as a gift to someone, to a friend, a colleague, a relative, son, daughter, mother, father, grandma, grandpa, aunt, and uncle. It's a great thing. So go take advantage of that. Say thank you to AMAC because they're doing amazing things with us, right? Go to amac.us/justnews. They're one of our most important partners. Support them the way they support us at amac.us/justnews. All right. In a few moments, Barry Loudermilk right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Congressman Barry Loudermilk is the chairman of the House Administration Oversight Subcommittee. And over the last year, he has brought to light so many stories and truths that we were denied about January 6th, including how unsafe the Capitol was that day because of intelligence and security failures that predated that. One of the things he was able to confirm this week, a story we started telling you on Just the News about 2 years ago. Yes, President Donald Trump did authorize sending as many as 10,000 National Guard troops to the Capitol 3 days before January 6th. That actually happened, even though the Democrats on the January 6th committee told you, no, that didn't happen. Well, as he has done time and again, Congressman Barry Loudermilk has gotten the receipts. He got facts and he shared them with the American people. And we are lucky right now that he's going to join us to highlight some of these new explosive revelations. Congressman, a great honor to have you on the show today. And thank you for what you've done. I think we went into this year a lot different knowledge about January 6th than we come out of it now. And that's a lot because of your great work.
Well, it is. You know, me and my team, we didn't do it alone. There was a lot of good folks working in this committee, and as well as folks like yourself who you guys during the interim from when this January 6th report came out until we got this committee going, you and a lot of others, investigative yeah. reporters, were doing your own legwork, and that helped us out tremendously. So we really appreciate those in the press who felt like they weren't getting the truth and needed to dig in a little deeper.
Yeah, and all the American public wants is the facts and the truth, and you've really delivered so much of that. I want to start with the ruse that is the Cassidy Hutchinson testimony, because in order for the January 6th committee to make the conclusion it did, it had to credit a third-hand hearsay testimony. She wasn't there. She didn't witness any of this. And then dismiss and hide the actual Secret Service driver's testimony. He's an eyewitness. He knows what happened in that limo. What does that say about what the January 6th Democrat panel's intentions really were?
Well, John, as we were looking into this, you know, we were kind of sent some shots across the bow by the liberals and even some in the establishment side saying, you better not go after this poor young lady and try to prove that she committed perjury. And that's not what we're here for. I'm not questioning whether she told the truth or not. I'm questioning the select committee who decided to take her word, at least her word after the first three testimonies before she changed her testimony, to take her changed testimony over literally dozens of other people who testified the opposite. And that is the big issue on several issues, not just the driver, but choking a Secret Service agent, supposedly throwing a cheeseburger or something in the White House. There were the National Guard. These were all stories that originated somewhere, somehow, with Cassidy Hutchinson. And as you have exposed on this this network, her first three testimonies to the committee lined up with everyone else's. And then through our investigation, we found out that there was a meeting between her and Liz Cheney. Yeah. After that meeting, Cassidy Hutchinson fired her attorney. Liz Cheney helped her find another attorney who came in pro bono. And then everything started changing. And the interesting thing is they called her back in for a fourth interview. But instead of doing it the way they did the first three, where they met in the big conference room, they had attorneys there as well as members, and mostly the attorneys from the committee were asking the questions. This time it was only her and Liz Cheney, a court reporter and a videographer. That's it. The other members of the committee didn't even know they were meeting. And at the end of this interview, there were these sensational stories that came out. Then Liz Cheney plays that video for the rest of the committee, and they decide right then and there they have to have an emergency hearing. You know, these great televised hearings they're having.
Yes.
They were going to schedule an emergency one and parade her up in front of the entire world and have her tell these sensational stories. but they didn't corroborate it with anyone else until much later. So I told my staff, I said, when you're looking into this, I don't want you to just look at, you know, the Secret Service agents or those at the White House. Don't just look at what they were asked by the committee. But when these people were called in, I want you to look at what they were not asked. And a great example is several months later. So she testified, Cassidy Hutchinson testified in June. That's when she came up with these elaborate stories. They did not call the Secret Service agent driver in to testify until September.
Unbelievable.
And you know, during that testimony, they never asked him about the incident in the limo. They never asked him about it. You would think that would be the first question you would ask this guy, but it's clear they didn't want to hear his answer. He had to interject on his own at the end of the testimony that this incident never happened. That was clear as anything to me. They had their story. They didn't want anybody else to discredit that story. I believe that's why most of this information was never made available to the American people and also was hidden from our view. We had to dig and dig and dig to find this information.
And that you did, because they deleted things. They transferred things to other agencies. They put passwords that you couldn't get. I want to ask about that, because you came in as the new Republican majority. You told the January 6th committee, preserve your records. And then those activities occurred. Is there any possibility that people in Congress will be referred for contempt of Congress or obstruction of Congress based on the behavior you saw that kept information from your committee for almost a year? You had to work almost a year to put all this together.
Exactly. And there's still a lot more work to do. There's still documents that we need to get hold of. We still don't have passwords for the encrypted documents. It's amazing that, you know, when I asked the former chairman, Benny Thompson, all I want you to do is give me the passwords. He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, I think it's coming to light. He probably didn't, because now new information we're getting is that Liz Cheney ran that committee.
Wow.
I mean, he was chairman as a figurehead only. She called the shots. She ran the committee. So imagine, she may know what the passwords are. I don't know if we'll ever find it. Yeah. But as far as holding people accountable, yes, it should be. But I think that's going to be a little ways down the road, because there is so much more information that we need to get. And we need to build not only this to get the truth out to the American people, but see just how big this case potentially is for obstructing. Now, it's not just they violated the rules from the new speaker, Kevin McCarthy, when he was speaker, that said preserve your records. There are House rules. House rules that at the time the Democrats had passed that set the standard of what it is that you should keep. And as you've talked about, there were deleted documents. They sent documents to other agencies, supposedly just so the agencies could review for security and send back, but they never sent it back. And in fact, the White House or the Department of Homeland Security, they're still telling us the 8 transcribed interviews that were sent to them, they're still reviewing, so they can't send them to us. So we still got a lot more work to do before we go down the hold you accountable trail. But I do believe that is something that has to be done so that this doesn't happen again. But the most egregious to me is something they admitted to, because they videotaped every transcribed interview and every deposition. Even Liz Cheney says that the videos are very important, but they did not keep a single one of those. And there's a reason. I can speculate on reasons, but there are reasons why they did not keep those videos, because I think they're very telling. Benny Thompson says, well, you have the written transcribed interviews. You don't need the videos. But, you know, with the videos, you get what happens in between sections.
That's
like
right.
When they pause for a few minutes, you have voice inflection, you have body language, you have eye movements. And as one of the attorneys that serves on our committee, one of the members, he's also attorney, he said, look, there's a big difference between the term I shot the clerk and I shot the clerk. I mean, that's a big difference, right? You don't get that in writing. So it's important that we somehow find these videos.
It's amazing. It is extraordinary. It's why jurors are allowed to see the testimony, not read it. It's so they can read it. We got less than a minute left, so I want to ask about this. The options that you have available, when you finish this, and I know you're deliberate, you're going to do things very careful and factually. There could be obstruction charges. There could be disciplinary charges, referrals to the Ethics Committee. Are those your options?
Those are our options. We also have to look at what other options are. There's also censorship, ethics, obviously. But you also consider there are members of that select committee that are no longer members of Congress.
Right.
So they may fall under a different scenario. So we do have the tools of members of Congress, but also active members of Congress have certain protections.
Right.
So we'll have to work on that because, as you talked about earlier, we're in uncharted territory right now. And so we're going to have to work through this.
Folks, don't go anywhere. Kash Patel up next in this Saturday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from, you know, Just the News.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back, everybody. It's not often that it happens, but boy, is it so good when it does, where years of investigative reporting can be corroborated by official congressional committee work and reports released by a majority of Congress. And unlike January 6th impeachment star witness Cassidy Hutchinson, our next guest has been telling us the same facts on our show time and time again. President Trump did call for 10,000 National Guardsmen to be ready to assist the Capitol and Washington, D.C.'s Mayor Muriel Bowser with supplemental security before the day took place. But as we know it, such officials within the Capitol Police, federal lawmakers, and others didn't heed the intelligence suggesting that there could be violence on that day. Kash Patel is the former chief of staff for the Department of Defense and served in President Trump's White House. He joins us now for a well-deserved truth-telling victory lap. Kash, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be with y'all. No better place than here.
Oh, well, we love having you, and I want to zoom in on some of these things that you have been saying for a while that are now corroborated in this official report. But I also want to get your legal opinion on a few things, because Cassidy Hutchinson, in her January 6th testimony, offered a very different opinion of what happened in the vehicle that President Trump was traveling in, as evidenced by the direct contradiction by the person who was actually driving that vehicle. I don't know if she was technically under oath in this testimony, but can Cassidy Hutchinson be prosecuted for perjury, and should Trump sue for defamation?
Yes to both. Look, Cassidy Hutchinson and the Select Committee for January 6th knew she was not a first or secondhand witness, meaning she didn't see it, she didn't hear it. And she said she talked to people who talked to people about the situation in the car, and that's what she was testifying to. That's not even hearsay. That's so far removed that there is no definition for that kind of information. No prosecutor would use it. And whether or not you receive a swearing in Congress, every witness receives an admonishment. And the reason that's important is you can now be charged and prosecuted for what we call 1001. Lying to federal officials. You don't need to be sworn in for that to have happened. You just need the admonishment. And every witness that I've ever known to go in before Congress receives that admonishment.
Cash, I want to ask a little bit about a pattern that you're painfully aware of, because you helped unravel Russia collusion. We were told by the color of government that our president was possibly colluding with Russia. He wasn't. We were told there was nothing to the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Ukraine story. There was. We were told the laptop was Russian disinformation. It wasn't. And we were told that Donald Trump didn't order 10,000 National Guard troops to the Capitol. He did. No, he tried to grab the wheel. He didn't. The fact that all of that occurs under the color of government and with the power of the taxpayers' money behind it makes it a very powerful machine. We keep having our own government mislead us and create false realities. How do we break the cycle?
But the truth, it's hard, especially in this universe, in this sphere that is the swamp that is allergic to the truth because it destroys their political narrative of wanting to kneecap Donald Trump with disinformation campaign after disinformation campaign. I mean, how many of the people in the 51 Intel letter intentionally lied to the American public? Talk about burning taxpayer money all for rigging a presidential election. And the only way to destroy this, the only way to remove these people and hold them accountable with their conspirators in the media is to call them out and show them the receipts. And John and Amanda, you know this better than anybody. The best receipts, the best evidence is their own words, their own documentation, especially when they bury it, especially when they withhold it from the American people, just like the FBI did to the FISA court, and just like Liz Cheney and the January 6th committee did here. Tony Ornato's testimony didn't happen last night. It happened 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Confirming and corroborating what I, the Secretary of Defense, the chairman, and others have said about President Trump's preemptive authorization of 10,000 plus National Guardsmen and women days before January 6th, only to be rejected by Mayor Bowser and Nancy Pelosi. Also of which those printed receipts, Mayor Bowser's letter and Nancy Pelosi's Capitol Police rejection of the National Guard have been promulgated greatly by your network, but lied about by the committee and the fake news. And we just got to keep going.
Yeah, truth is a weapon.
Cash, I just want to ask you as clearly as possible, with the presence of, because, you know, we saw the lopsided numbers with respect to January 6th protesters and law enforcement at the Capitol. Would the presence of 10,000 National Guard troops there, would that have wholly prevented what happened on January 6th?
10,000 uniformed men and women of the greatest fighting force on God's green earth would, of course, brought security to that atmosphere, would have quelled any excitement and any outrageous conduct. And it was needed based upon the actions of a few people for that situation to get out of hand. I have full faith in the defense and the military in our country, and they would have done their job that day.
Yeah. And as the report said today, it was a preventable attack. It's such powerful words to think about, something the Chief Sun said on this show. I want to turn to another powerful story. Good old Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, they continue to ride the gravy train of the storyline they gave us in 19. But we're learning more and more. Last week, we had a story that Hunter Biden tried to offer his services and asked for $5 million from Dmitry Firtash, an oligarch indicted by his father's administration. He offered to make the indictment go away if he got paid. The level of bravery to do that, the level of, I don't want to use the words I'm thinking of, but the extraordinary audaciousness of saying, hey, my dad indicted you, I might be able to get you out of it, but pay me $5 million. Do you think Americans are catching on to what the Bidens are really doing?
They're living in a two-tier system of justice, and America is catching on to the truth. And as you have poignantly reported on, you and Amanda and Just the News, money doesn't lie. Yep. When you offer money and it's accepted to do something illegal, that's a bribe. That's exactly what happened here. It doesn't matter where that money ever was transacted or not. It is an actual quid pro quo, unlike the left's projection of one on Donald Trump in the Ukraine. And so the Bidens have been caught red-handed. And I think the effectiveness of your great reporting is that we are exposing every single day to millions of Americans how they were lied to and how, worse, the justice system has been weaponized against certain Americans. And we have to fix it and return it to a uniform system of a constitutional republic.
Yeah, important stuff.
Well, and it seems like it's not just Hunter Biden. You've got Hunter Biden, some people would allege, is being handled with kid gloves, and Joe Biden, who is being handled with geriatric gloves, in this case with special counsel Robert Hur, who declined to prosecute, basically said that he's too old and enfeebled, that a jury would be sympathetic to him. What do you expect to come out of the House hearing on that?
Well, we're going to get more evidence to show that Joe Biden should have been prosecuted with this crime. Look, as a former national security prosecutor, the statute is clear. It doesn't matter if your client or the defendant in this case is old or feeble. It is a simple statute that says if you take classified documents, you're guilty. plain and simple. There is no exception unless you're the president of the United States, which he wasn't at the time. And it's been going on for four decades, and hundreds of documents marked classified, top secret, and compartmented access, our most secure secrets. And Joe Biden left them in a garage, in a beach house, and elsewhere, and had staff move them. Any other American would be guilty of that crime and be doing decades in prison. But he got the two-tier system of justice treatment that Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray have created just for the Bidens and anyone that supports them.
All right, one more good one. I'm going to introduce you to another one of the new candidates running for the House. He's a former military man, currently a state lawmaker in Michigan, running for Michigan House 7. Tom Barrett, he's got a lot to say about why Michigan is so much in play, why Donald Trump has a good chance to win, and why Republicans have a good chance of sweeping things. We'll have that in the final block in just a moment.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, everybody. The 2024 elections are heating up and we are ready. Joe Biden has flown from Wisconsin to Michigan today. And although many Americans are focused on the race for the White House, there are many important congressional seats up for grabs in battleground states across the country. And our next guest is a Republican candidate in one of those targeted races. He's been a member of the Michigan State Legislature for the past decade, and he currently is running to represent the Great Lakes State's 7th Congressional District. Tom Barrett joins us now. Tom, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. We're happy to have you. And I would like to know what the reception is in Michigan today for President Biden. A lot of joyful fanfare for him?
Well, I can tell you candidly, I wasn't there for the welcoming committee to bring him to Michigan. But Michigan is a battleground state this year. And it's no surprise that the president sees his vulnerability here. I mean, we have, record high cost of living, groceries 20% higher than when Joe Biden took office, crushing family budgets. We have high energy costs in the state. Michigan is the most expensive state for energy in the entire Midwest. We have a rising crime. In fact, in Saginaw, Michigan, where the president was today, is still ranked as one of the most violent and dangerous cities in America. And of course, we have the nearly 9 million illegal border crossings into our country on his watch. That is almost equal to the entire population of the state of Michigan and is greater than the population of 38 or 39 states in the union. So these are really devastating problems. On top of that, the president had over 100,000 people vote against him as uncommitted in the Democratic primary here in Michigan. So he's got a lot of vulnerability here. This state is going to be red this November, and we are also going to get elected to the United States Congress in this district, the 7th Congressional District here in Michigan. We're going to flip this seat from blue to red. People can go to my website, tombarrettforcongress.com, and learn a little bit more about me and what our vision is for America.
Yeah, this is one of the most closely watched races in the country, not in Michigan, but the whole country. It's really going to be the bellwether. You said something, the protest vote that obviously occurred during the Michigan primary, and a lot of people associate that with the discomfort that the left has with his Israel-Hamas policies. But there's another issue brewing, and that is, I think a lot of the great auto workers who made this country so great for more than a century realize that Joe Biden's EV policies are going to wipe out their jobs someday. President Trump came out today with some new ideas for how to revive the auto industry here. How big an issue? Do Michiganders really realize that Joe Biden is trying to make the auto worker in America obsolete?
Yes, absolutely. And Sean Fain actually called these government-inspired collusion to force electric vehicles onto people who frankly don't want them. Yep. He called them a government-mandated race to the bottom. So, you know, these are things that auto workers see. They feel it. Michigan, of course, has deep roots in the auto manufacturing industry. We have great roots here in the 7th Congressional District where I'm running, General Motors, right here in Lansing, Michigan.
Right.
So these are strong things that people see. They feel it. And working people, I believe, are beginning to see what happens to their budgets, their family budgets under Democratic leadership like Joe Biden. They certainly are not better off today than they were under President Trump. And I think we're going to see a massive realignment taking place in this country. And I think that we're going to have really big opportunities as Republicans to show the country and show working families why we are a far better option than what they've seen out of the Biden administration. Everything from inflation, cost of living, challenges there, crime, the border, and national security. Those are all big features of my campaign. You can go to Tom Barrett for Congress.com and see a little bit more about that. The real core pillars of this race that we're focusing on.
Yeah, important.
Yeah, someone should have told Joe Biden that in the state of Michigan, there are two things you don't go after, Motown and cars. And he stepped in it there. I want to ask you about your opponent, former state senator Curtis Hurdle. He went to a Veterans Day event and there was an issue with what he was wearing, possibly an instance of stolen valor. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this was a really sad and devastating thing. You know, on Veterans Day this year, we were at the same event. Curtis and I were. I have a 22-year career that I spent in the United States Army. I was proud and thankful to be able to serve our country in that capacity, deployed around the world. And, you know, along the way, the Army taught me to fly some really amazing helicopters. And I retired from the Army just 2 years ago. And on Veterans Day, just this past year, Curtis and I were at the same event, and he showed up wearing an Army-issued uniform jacket and had never served in the Army or, frankly, any branch of service whatsoever. A number of local veterans in this district stepped up to call him out for that and really asked for an apology for that instance of stolen valor. He doubled down and tried to suggest that what he did was appropriate because civilians are able to purchase uniforms like that, and that's the exact issue and problem with stolen valor is that civilians often will buy military uniforms that they haven't earned and wear them, suggesting military service when they never have served.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Thank you to Barry Loudermilk, to Cash Patel, Tom Barrett. What a great set of interviews today. What a consequential investigation Chairman Loudermilk is running. He deserves a lot of credit. He's not looking for headlines. He's not looking for fictitious storylines. He's just trying to get you the facts. He trusts it. If he just gets you the facts, you're going to understand it and make up your own mind. He's not trying to make up your mind for you. That's what Liz Cheney and the Hollywood producers and Benny Thompson did. Barry Loudermilk doesn't like that idea. In fact, he was one of the people smeared by that committee. He survived it and proved them wrong. Now he's proving a lot more wrong. And that's very troubling that under the color of government, we would be misled by a congressional committee. All right. Tomorrow, a great, tremendous, actually, really a good show. Why? Because Ambassador Michael Oren from Israel's here. Oh, my God. What was Chuck Schumer up to? What is Joe Biden up to? What's Kamala Harris up to? We're sticking our thumb in the eye of our most important ally in the Middle East. Michael Oren will break it down. So will Victoria Coates, Tom Fitton, Tudor Dixon, and Bobby Charles. That's a great lineup. All right, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, God bless you and have a great, great Saturday afternoon. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.